Well, here's a new concept for us, a children's book written to the parent. It's from first-time author Kevin Gallagher, entitled Teach Your Kid to Hit So They Don't Quit. It's directed to the vast audience of parents who don't know how to teach their kid to hit. The front cover screams, "Parents, you can teach them. Promise." Boston Red Sox icon Rico Petrocelli writes in crayon, "Kevin has written a terrific book that will improve the hitting skills of boys and girls of all ages. This is a must read for anyone who wants to teach hitting skills." And with that, we welcome Kevin Gallagher to Remember When. Kevin, it's great to have you. Congratulations on the book. Is the book based on personal experience?
In a way it is. I'll explain a little bit more about that. I was a good athlete, played ball at a high level, whatever. But later on in life, I began to realize how many kids are dying to play this game and nobody knows how to teach them. And we wind up losing them to other sports or street corner or somewhere. And so it became a passion of mine to put something together where we could teach the ordinary kid to make contact with the ball and stay with the game and not move on. So in some regards, my brother was one of them kids who never made the teams. You know, later on in life, I realized all that he missed and all that I had. And so, yeah, it's personal experience, yeah.
Kevin, you said something in a book that really hit me. The thing is, with the little leaguers and maybe the next level up, when they strike out, they're embarrassed, like probably big leaguers for a little while anyway. But when they hit the ball, even though it's an out, they feel great because they made contact and they were able to run. And you are so right. I've seen that. After I read it, I was thinking, man, I've seen that. Kids, they hit the ball, you know, no matter where. And they ran to first base and they were happy and they wanted to continue, you know, to play and hit. Yeah. That was a great point.
Yeah, we want to make them come back tomorrow. And sometimes we confuse, you know, what adults' views of success is and what kids' views of success are, especially starting out. Oftentimes, you know, we want our kid to hit the home run, win the game, but the kids sometimes just want to hit some pitiful ball short, get on by an error, slide in the second, get dirty, and not take the uniform off for 3 hours after the game because, he had fun and he wants to come back tomorrow. So, yeah, we don't want to confuse, the parental success with kids' success.
The purpose of the book, Kevin, is twofold.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us.
Yeah, it's twofold. So very simply, I wrote this book for two reasons. Number one is I want ordinary kids to be taught how to hit the ball, a baseball or a softball, boy or a girl, so they want to come back tomorrow because they're having fun. And number two, and more importantly, is I want to convince the parents that they can do this. They're the ones. They don't have to push them off to a little league coach or a high school coach, even a JV coach. A Babe Ruth coach. These are just other people's parents that maybe don't know how to teach it either. Most kids don't know how to hit, and they're not supposed to. And most parents don't know how to teach. You know, we take our kids out to the ballpark, we throw them batting practice, but it's not teaching kids. We're throwing the ball to them, and we hope they hit it. And when they don't, and they struggle, we offer vague advice like keep your head up, keep your chin up, don't swing so hard, swing harder. It's all these disjointed bits of advice that don't help the kid, right? They get frustrated, you get frustrated, you can lose your kid right there. And they can wind up quitting the game right there. But if they progress to an organized league, Ed, you know, and maybe you were throwing a ball at half speed in the backyard. Now they're in the game. It's going fast. And now they're swinging and missing in front of strangers, in front of grandma and grandpa, maybe the girl down there they like or the boy they like, their buddy down the end. They're not going to do it very long. I call the walk from home plate to the dugout the longest and loneliest walk in sports. If you struck out again with your bat on your shoulder, walking back to the dugout, you know, if you're only going to do it so many times. You're going to wind up, you know, leaving the game. And one of the things about baseball is it's like no other sport. In other sports, you can run around for 2 or 3 hours and nobody knows if you did good or not. You can blend in. Baseball, 4 times a game, we're going to give your child a bat. Say, come over here, stand here. Everybody watch. You ready? All right, Joey. All right, Lisa. Go ahead. Swing and miss. Swing or hit the ball. You're going to, it's failure or success right there. And they're only going to do it so many times if they're swinging and missing. So our responsibility is to teach our kids to hit so they don't quit.
You talked a lot in the book about the present day players and this theory about swinging up on the ball so you can hit, fly, you know, hit home runs. But, you know, the other end of it is that there's so many more strikeouts. We all know that. And that's so boring. Tell us about, you know, your thoughts on that. And of course, the second half of the book is what to do, how, you know, your teaching methods. And I agree with it 100%. But what about all these strikeouts and all this in this uppercut thing?
The launch angle.
Oh, yeah, launch angle, right.
You know, it's a very fancy word for an uppercut, or a very fancy word for the old softball swing. But nonetheless, you know, this is how the book lays out. We talk about what the problem is, right? We convince people of the problem. At the end of the book, we get the solution, which is top hand hitting, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But the launch angle basically is a style of hitting that's designed to hit the ball in the air, right? You're coming up. If you hit it, it's going to go high, and it's going to go far, and it's revolutionized the game. Very talented players can do it pretty much, but even in the big leagues, Rico, they're striking out 200 times to hit 30 home runs. They're making a lot of money, but the kids aren't going to they're not going to tolerate this swinging and missing, right? They're not going to do it.
Right.
And the reason it's a launch angle is because we're going to talk about the top hand later, but the launch angle takes the top hand, drops it down, okay, underneath, and the barrel of the bat always goes where the top hand goes. So the barrel of the bat goes down underneath the plane of the ball. Now it's got to come back up and try to get frantically to that one spot where it could hit the ball on its way up. Because the ball's coming in on one line and the bat's coming up on another, geometry will tell you there's only one intersection point. And you've got to get to that point, right? And so it causes a lot of swings and misses. Now, what that does for the game, you know, the effects it has in the game with all the swing and misses, I'll give you some statistics. They were in the book, but it slows the game down. And I'm going to tie this into why we have less kids playing the game, too, these days. Last year, there was between balls put in play was 3 minutes and 40 seconds the average time. You could make a bologna sandwich, go walk the door, come back, and the guy's still at bat. You know, kids aren't – that's a lot of time. 34% of all at-bats last year involved only three players, the pitcher, the catcher, and the bat. Either he struck out, walked, or he don't run. That means a whole third of the game is between two defensive players. So the games are longer. They're 3 hours and 5 minutes. The kids aren't staying up that late. You know, the other thing about it, too, the launch angle, it's maddening with its epidemic of check swings, right? People are constantly swinging these sliders in the dirt 6 inches outside the plate, and they're major leaguers. But that's because the launch angle is a long swing. And to catch up to that 95-mile-an-hour fastball, you got to start sooner. You commit yourself earlier, and then when the ball breaks, you don't see it, you can't hold up. And you know. So anyway, slow the game down. The casual viewer is not watching because the games are too long. The attendance is at its lowest in 16 years. And there's a quote in the book by Pete Rose that says, home runs are up and strikeouts are up, but attendance is down. He said, I didn't go to Harvard, but that's not a good thing. But let me just real quick talk about what that had. Let me talk about what that's done to the youth of our game. I really believe the launch angle has had an effect on the game. The game's boring for kids to watch because of the launch angle, right? They want action. The video games are constant. The football and basketball are more action. So they're not watching the game. They're two less 3 hours and 5 minutes to watch a game. They're ending at 11 o'clock at night. So number one, the kids aren't invested in the game. Ed, Rico, me, we know the nuances of the game, the chess moves, but if kids are just starting out, they're not watching the game, they go to the ballpark, they swing, miss, they're moving on to something else. They're not having fun, right? Mm. The National Sporting Goods Association just came out with a survey. It says in the last 10 years, participation of America's youth between 7 and 11 years of age is down 31%. And between 12 and 17 is down 35.9%.
Wow.
And just to go one step further, 30% of Major League Baseball players are foreign born. Where's our kids? This is our national pastime. They're good players, they're wonderful people, but they're not our kids. And 68 out of 882 players are black and African American in baseball. That's 68 out of 182. It's 7%. Three teams last year had no black players.
And, correct.
11. Yeah. So the point is, where's America's youth? Well, the launch angle has slowed the game down so much. It's taken participation of our youth away. I really believe that. So
tell us a solution. Tell us, is great. I love it. Done a great job on that. The top hand, right?
Yep, top hand. Rico, you know that. You use that even in your endorsement of the book. You were the first shortstop ever to hit 40 home runs.
In the American League. Yeah. And we had Bob. I was telling Ed we had Bobby Dorr as our coach, and he brought in that theory, swing down. You're not really swinging like chopping. You know, you're swinging down, even if the ball is low, because your bat angle is it will help you to lift the ball. But and Ted Williams says, you know, uppercut. But Ken Harrelson, hit 44 home runs. Harrelson hit 35. I hit 40. And other players had their best years with that theory. And I don't know if Charlie Lau had that theory as well, but I agree 100%. I don't know if they'll change, but I agree with you 100%. Top hand, get on top of the ball, swing down, which is basically swinging level.
Yeah, it is. Ted Williams was successful with the launch angle. You know why? Because he was Ted Williams.
Exactly.
he could put a blindfold on, maybe, and who knows. But, yeah, so the book is about pointing out the problem with the launch angle and the kids swinging and missing and leaving the game. So what's the solution? Well, the solution is something that worked for you, Rico, worked for me in my playing days. It's top-hand hitting, right? So the method is top-hand hitting. It's designed to make contact with the ball more often. That's the reason you want to deploy that type of hitting. And the purpose is to create a level swing from start to finish. The way we do that is by using the top hand as the dominant hand from start to finish. And so the objective of all that is to get the barrel of the bat on the same plane the ball is traveling as quickly as you can and for as long as you can, creating multiple points of contact along the way. You can hit it late, you can hit it early, you can hit it on time, but you're in the same path of the ball. So you improve the chances for a child to hit the ball, and obviously you improve the chances for anybody to hit the ball. And so by establishing, like we do this in the steps by establishing a connection between really the brain and the top hand. We start out by chopping a tree. We do it with the first five steps in the book don't even involve a ball. But we do it with a bat handle, and we get that. If you can imagine chopping a tree, it would be with your top hand into that tree, right? You don't chop with your bottom hand. You don't chop it sideways. So you're coming down, as Rico says. But as we go through the steps and we start introducing the bat to the equation and then batting tees and whatnot, by the time you get to the eighth step, that downward swing is more of a level swing, which gets you onto the plane of the ball quickly and stays in that same plane of the ball for a much longer period of time compared to the launch angle, which is coming up and is only going to intersect the path at one point. I like to use an analogy. So if you know New York, Ed, you spent a lot of time in New York. Rico, you played Yankee Stadium 100 times. You know New York. So if the ball is traveling down Fifth Avenue, and you get your bat on Fifth Avenue too, and it's coming down, you're going up, you can hit the ball at 45th, the intersection of 45th and 46th, the 47th, the 50th, right? Hmm. So if you're using a launch angle, you go below Fifth Avenue, you're only coming back up to intersect Fifth Avenue either only at one street, 45th, 45th, it's only one spot. And if you don't get there in time, you're going to swing and miss. So logically, what we're trying to do is get the barrel of the bat on that same path the ball is traveling, particularly in youth ball, where almost all pitches are going to be fastballs until you get up to high school or something. So, yeah, that's the process. And we have the eight steps to teach the parents how to teach their kids.
Also, when we talk about top hand, in case there's any former players listening or people who are coaches, that doesn't mean you roll your right hand over before or at contact, so that makes you hit the ground ball. No, that's a swing. You break your wrists after at your shoulder or almost to your shoulder. So you're hitting top hand. The bat's still straight, going downward level, and then when you follow through, then like golf, then you break your wrist. So
that's correct. Yep.
So anyway, I love it, and I believe in that theory. You know who? I don't know if you remember, Ed, we had Mike Schmidt on a couple of years ago.
No, I do, yeah.
Kevin, and he said that by him, he started getting on top of the ball towards the end of his career, and it helped him have some excellent years and get over 500 home runs because the ball still went out. You know what I mean? Even swinging level. And Jim Rice, another guy who has that theory too. Jim always gets that top hand to the ball.
Mike Schmidt said throughout his career, whenever he had two strikes on or was in a contact situation, he would choke up a little bit and use the top hand. He needed to make contact, but that's how he did it. Now, there's two points in a player's career where you want to teach this top hand. When you're starting out, for sure, you give him the right method. But also, as you just said, maybe as a player ages or even a kid going from Babe Ruth to high school, a lot of kids can wake up at midnight like you, Rico, and hit a line drive. They can just hit no matter what style they use, right? But most kids wake up at noon and can't hit. And those are the kids we're talking to here. But so a kid could have success in Little League, with using any style he wants. Maybe he's bigger than the other kids, whatever. But as he goes up the ranks, the game speeds up and it doesn't work anymore. So when a player's style begins to fail, this method here can keep them in the game longer. You can go from JV to varsity, varsity to college, college into Pro Bowl, even A ball to Double A. At some point when the ball goes from 88 to 92, your style is not working. This style will, Yeah. So there's various points in the career. Like Mike Schmidt used it late in his career. Why? He's probably slowing down. The big swing wasn't getting there.
Yep. There's a couple of points I want to make because our time is very short with Kevin Gallagher. The book targets the parents of kids at various stages of their playing development, not just for kids starting out. That's very important, mm-hmm. as is that your book includes an 8-step process, and each is accompanied by video instruction so the parent can learn visually as well. That's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's we lay out the book. It's an interesting read. We get to the back of the book and there's 8 steps. And those 8 steps, we take the parent, well, I'm teaching the parent here. So we tell the parent, we write out what we're going to do. And we always tell this. We tell the parent, tell the child what you're going to do and why. Don't underestimate their intellect. They're not going to do it because you tell them. If it makes sense, they're going to do it. And then we lay out exactly what we're going to do and the steps for that step. I have illustrations, which I've created over 30 illustrations in the book, but one for each step that shows what we're going to do. So the child has any problem understanding, you can show them the illustration. And then when it's all done, there's a video that the parent can watch. By the time he's done with each step, he's going to understand this process. He's going to own the process. He's going to put it in his back pocket. And that parent is going to go from encouraging his kid or coaching his kid to becoming a teacher. The big leap. He's going to be able to teach his kid and others how to hit a baseball. He's going to know how.
Kevin Gallagher has written, Teach Your Kid to Hit So They Don't Quit. I wish this book was around when I was playing. What?
You couldn't read.
What? Yeah, but it's got pictures.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you
could. I couldn't read. I couldn't write, Rico, but I could trace.
Okay.
I could do that.
Hey, Ed, but this book here, I went on a WFAN in New York. One of your colleagues had me on a couple weeks ago. The 2 days after that show, my book went to number one on Amazon's new release book. Sorry. I have a picture of it. I'm number one book. Number two was Willie Mays. Number three was Yogi. So I was in pretty good company there for a while.
Good for you. Good. If somebody wants to get the book, Kevin, how do they do it?
There's two ways. You go Amazon.com, teach your kid to hit so they don't quit. And my website is hittingsimple.com. Everything's on there. The videos, everything's on there as well as how to buy the book.
That's great.
Great.
For a guy who hit 108 1 year in Little League, 3 hits, 2 of them were bunts. But Rico, there was another year I hit 353, wise guy. Okay,
wow.
Just want to let you know.
Congratulations. Okay. I didn't know that. Wow.
I know you didn't know that.
Oh, boy.
Kevin, best wishes with the book. It's terrific. Yeah. It's
really
wonderful.
It's so nice.
And
thank
we you, wish you the very best of success with it. Thank you for joining us.
We'll see you, Kevin. Right, take care.
Remember when Rolls On with Rico and Ed and you after this.
Back to
Remember When.